Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I'm just mute. Hello,
Hello.
everyone.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I can
Oh,
hear you.
good.
Yeah.
Sorry, just some audio setting difficulties as usual. All right, I'm here. Dan has apologized. He's going to be a bit late today.
Okay.
So, as far as topics go, I guess the only thing I've looked at is around a customized chassis and also HTTP status codes. I don't know what anyone else has to talk about subjects.
Nothing from me. Nothing from me in English.
What's the status about the new repository?
The new repository exists. It's the stuff that's actually merged is only a stub, it has a README and virtually nothing else.
Okay.
To prototype the different what do you call them? Health check endpoints that just return simple status codes. I've done a PR, which kind of gets everything into a built-in state. So it implements a Gradle build. It builds a modified server chassis. It adds some additional endpoints, and that's all in a PR. However, I've not merged the PR. I mean, I'll carry on and discuss this then. What I haven't merged the PR because the Egeria server chassis that we build by default has a lot in it, as I think you know, and you may have tried to modify it yourself so you can remove components from it or add components. There's a build time option as well, which will split things out. Sorry, I'm not concentrating. Oh, yes, just a bit of brain fade. That's right. Okay, let me start again. The server chassis that we have in Core Egeria, we have two options to build it, right? Either we build it with all of the Spring modules, and then we can do everything we normally do and we see in the Egeria server, and that's what we put into the Docker container. Or there's a build option, which actually builds a cut-down server, which only includes the core that you need, and then you can add extra modules to it. So when I was doing this enhanced status check, fundamentally what I want to do is add a new component, add a new module that will get picked up by the Spring component scan and will then provide some additional REST API endpoints. Okay, so in essence, that's fairly simple because you could modify the server chassis, you could add in that additional component, and whoomp, you've built it. But I wanted to take the opportunity to prototype what it means to build this stuff externally. So rather than working within the Egeria base, I wanted to do this within this new repository. So I wanted to create a new module. I've called it Health Check, which would be a crazy module, which builds its own server chassis. It makes it a Spring Boot application and it adds in the stuff that I want. And so I've been experimenting with that idea a bit. And what I actually hit a problem that the server chassis module that we ship as an artifact to Maven Central contains only the Spring Boot jar. So it doesn't include the simple jar because the Spring server chassis Spring module in Egeria is where the application is defined. Very relatively simple piece of Java code, but that's our main application. And that in itself was not being published, only the Uber jar. And I wanted that because I want to be able to customize it. And I initially tried to take the big jar and look at, could I strip things out of it? Could I unpack it? And then I still had to Springify it. And that was causing conflicts with the plugins that I had. So what I decided to propose is that the build in Egeria we modify so that the simple jar, the plain jar, is included as well as the Uber jar. We used to do this with some of the components, but when I did the port into Gradle, I actually decided to strip to make sure that was stripped out. And I think that was the wrong decision. because it doesn't just affect the server chassis. It's actually any component in Egeria. Sometimes you want to just be able to run the application, in this case, the server chassis, and have all its dependencies built into that big jar so you can just take it and it's ready to go. In other cases, you want to be able to compose something new from those individual pieces. And that's what I needed to do in this case. So I put in a PR. I think Mandy's raised an objection to it. I haven't merged it. I've put it open for comment. Until that PR is merged, I therefore can't merge the change on this new repository. Any questions so far?
What's the objection?
Oh, I only saw it literally just as I was having a sip of coffee before coming to this meeting. I think it was probably about 5:02. I think, let me have a look. I can share my screen possibly if that helps. And then I can show you around. So let me just see if I can remember the host code. Where's participants? I'm sorry, I'm trying to find my Zoom window. It's gone away. So there it is, found it. See if I can remember by. I think that's this, is it? No, that's invalid. Okay, let me just look it up. It's one digit out. Right. Okay. I'm just going to go and share a web browser. And we'll have a look. Okay. Share. Safari. Okay. You should be able to see a Safari window.
And yes.
Right. So if we look at Core Egeria, I raised this pull request called add planes chassis for custom chassis. Let me show you what it does and why. Okay, it's just a very, very simple bit of Gradle. What happens when you build a Spring Boot application, it overrides the standard jar task to create a jar with the plane classifier. So it's called Egeria Server Chassis Plane, basically. And that contains just the Java code that's defined in this module. And then the Spring Boot plugin creates an Uber jar, which pulls in dependencies and also all of the Spring framework, all the stuff you need to do in the boot inf directory that makes that run as an application. It builds that into this boot jar and it creates that as the default jar, so with no classifier. And what this code in here was doing, if you notice, is it was making sure it removed the original jar. So this plain jar doesn't exist. So that's what I needed. So that's why I proposed this PR. And the end result of that is that you'll get, I don't know if I can show you easily. I can show you at the command line. Let me just change the share. Terminal, let's go to so many windows. Item two. So here's the terminal. If we look at, this is my M2 repository. With Egeria, you can always do Gradle build publish to Maven local. And what that'll do is it creates the actual Maven artifacts and puts them in your M2. It's good for trying things out. It's not good to rely on it because it's obviously dependent on your machine. So I changed the build as I showed in that PR. And when I've done that, if I go into the server chassis Spring component, what you'll see is we have this file here, server chassis Spring snapshot plane. So our Maven artifact, this is the main jar. So if you have a dependency, this is what you normally get. These two are required by Maven Central and they're used by IDEs, sources and Java doc. They're used by IDEs so they can pull in the source code and pull in the Java doc. And in fact, this part of the name is also used as the classifier, basically, in the Maven artifact. So when you say you depend on server chassis Spring 4.1 snapshot, you can actually say you depend on server chassis Spring for one snapshot Java doc, and that will just pull in the Java doc piece. In my case, I wanted to pull in the plain piece. You'll notice this is a very small jar. I did not want this one with all this scumph in it. I wanted just the actual application there. And that is the code that actually comes from Hope Metadata implementation, server chassis, server chassis Spring. Let's see how far we get. It's actually in Spring Boot. This thing, IMAG server platform.java, that's all I wanted to depend on. Well, the two files, there's the other stuff as well. But this is our main Spring application, right? So this defines that this is the server chassis. And I needed that to be able to build a custom one. So that's what the purpose of that PR is. It's to add an additional classifier that allows a consuming project to depend just on that thin piece rather than the thick piece. It's probably something we should do whenever we build Uber jars, because we don't know how they're going to be used. Some other projects do the same thing. Certainly some Spring projects do the same thing as well.
Yeah. So I think I put a comment on that just to get rid of, not use plain, because plain doesn't tell you anything.
The reason plain is used is it's the Spring Boot default.
Right, but why do we use plain in the build then?
Sorry, why do we use plain in the build?
Why don't we use plain? Because when we build this platform with just the server chassis,
yeah,
we use server chassis only.
Yes, so that is the default jar. So if you depend on an artifact, the thing with no name is what you'll get by default. So it's like a null classifier. And that's normally it's normally whatever you define to be the main use of that artifact. So sometimes it's a simple jar, if it's a library, for example, because usually that's what you're pulling in. But when we've got, and we can change this, by the way, of course.
So when would you use OMAG server platform.java on its own without the rest of the platform? I don't get that. If we're building...
Let me show you.
If we're building a cut-down platform, then we are using more than just the server chassis, the OMAG server platform.
Yeah, we certainly are. Let me show you, though. I'll go to IntelliJ. If you give me a sec. Just see if I can find that. Okay. So this is IntelliJ. Can you see that okay?
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Just got something overlaying it. So in Nigeria itself, which is here, when we build the server chassis, where's server chassis Spring? Further down. It's admin services. Yeah. Server chassis Spring. Mm-hmm. When we build this, we obviously have quite a lot of stuff in there. There's stuff we always need. And then there's this, which we normally build by default, and we publish the artifact. This property is just a condition. It says pull this in if this property is not set.
I think you're not showing what you're pointing at, because I'm looking at a health check method.
Oh, that's interesting. When you've got a multi-tab window in IntelliJ, it obviously only shows the selected one. That is really interesting. Okay, let me try.
We can see your mouse move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, when you've got, you probably can't see my tabs then.
No, you can't.
So it's obviously sharing only a single tab. You can see the tabs.
No, yes. We can see the file tabs, but not the...
you mean the project
tabs. Yeah, okay.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. So can you see the Ageria Gradle build now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So this is what we do when we normally build the server chassis. So we have a fixed set of dependencies always. And normally we also build with all of these. So this is all our view services, our access services, integration services, governance servers.
Register services, they're called,
Yeah, all of that stuff, which is great. And that's what we package, that's what we put in our Docker container, that's what we run. We've had some discussions about building a cutdown package. And obviously one of the ways you can do that is you go and edit this file, right? And you build it within Core Egeria and you put in what you want. Another thing you can do is you can build the thin chassis and then you can deposit the right jars in place.
That was the approach, yes, that we agreed.
Right, that is one approach you can take. The thing with doing that, the problem with doing that approach is where you've got individual modules that then have other dependencies, you've got to be able to follow that dependency chain. So one of the things
this is a longer term debate, but
it is. So what I'm trying to do is demonstrate an idea that's in a prototype repository that people can look at and think about and may or may not like.
It's not Egeria, yeah. Okay, fine.
It isn't Egeria. That's the important thing. What I was looking at is how can you do this externally? Imagine I'm a consumer of Egeria and I'm trying to build some extra services. Well, how can I do it externally? With the stuff we're doing for cloud native, we decided to put things into a separate repository so we don't, you know, we can experiment and sandpit with Egeria without contaminating the base. There may be some changes we have to put in the base for whatever reason, and this repackage is one. But in general, let's see how much we can build this externally and recompose what we want this application to look like. Sorry, there's a lag in the audio.
Yeah, I think so. So I thought you were not playing with the platform and that you were building a new effectively JVM, Java process that would be just a single server, and presumably you one for each type of server.
So what we've got is a number of different prototypes. There's a number of different challenges that we've looked at around this. One of the challenges was to remove the platform services and just to run a simple application. David did some prototyping of that. That's currently a PR on the base. And Loopcho is hoping to port it and move it across to this new repository. But the principle there will be, we will take some stuff from Egeria that we want, we'll add some bits and, you know, we'll try and show something working. And that's of course in very generic terms. So what I was trying to do with a prototype I'll show you in a minute is to take, again, pieces of what we've got in Egeria and add in some extra bits that we might need. So the concept is the same. And in fact, the key thing here was not to touch anything or to minimize how much is touched in Egeria for any experimentation, and just to be able to work with it as another external consumer might work with it. So this is the Egeria server chassis. And what the PR did that I proposed was to, in here, trying to work out where it is now, there is some stuff that removes a dependency and I can't find it now. Server chassis. Here it is, this stuff. This is the modified version, and this makes sure that the boot jar, this is the Spring boot jar, gets put into the archive. In fact, if you don't have this in, for whatever reason, the Spring boot jar wasn't getting included, so no application at all. So there was also some lines in here that stripped out the plane, because Spring Boot actually creates that by default, and I'd stripped it out in the initial version of this Gradle file, because I thought the only thing we want in there is the composite jar. And this particular use case has demonstrated to me that that was not a good call, and that there is a scenario where we want to use just that. And I'll show you what that is, that scenario. I'm going to reshare because of the change in tabs. Let's go here. I've lost my Zoom window again.
I suppose the thing I'm struggling with is, why are you changing the platform when ultimately you're not going to be using the platform?
because this is a point in time statement. This is, you know, what sort of experiments and things that can we show now that you know, sort of demonstrate some incremental value to facilitate the discussion. It's not the final point that we want to get to. We can do different experiments in parallel, but what we want to be able to do is make sure that we can build those and reproduce those and let other people take over that work. So we've always got something that incrementally improves, that can be worked with, that can be evaluated. That's the reason for doing it.
It just seems funny to be changing the platform rather than having a new class.
No, but the only thing that's changed in the platform is to put back something that effectively was erroneously removed and would normally be there by default for a Spring application. That's the change to the platform. There's no custom code. There's none of this new code is going into the Ageria core project whatsoever.
I suppose I'm just struggling with the validity of the experiment.
Well, the experiment is about status. The actual technical aspect of this is about status codes. So on we also have, so in IBM, we also have a team that are taking the Ageria shared server chassis and need to be able to build their own version of it. They need to be able to add some modules. And so one approach to that is you copy all of the source code and you change it. And so I was trying to look at a different model, which says, can you consume what's already there and then just add in the bits that you need and basically define the bits that you need? So if you look at, I don't know which window you can see. Can you see chassis plane? I don't see a share in
server health check resource.
I'm going to have to, the sharing's not working properly. let's go back to IntelliJ here. Right. Can you see that? Okay. Yeah, that's the wrong one. Cloud native. Yeah. It's getting very confused when I change tabs.
Yeah.
This is strange. Try that.
It's strange that.
Right.
That it's not properly understood by Zoom.
Okay, so this is a new project, right? This is the repository Jürgen was talking about, which is the Ageria Cloud Native repository. The only thing that we've got in here is one experiment so far, which is my health check experiment. And so in here, I've got a Gradle build, which creates my own version of the chassis, which is what I'm experimenting with at the moment. And it pulls in this dependency here. So what this is saying is I just want the OMAG application. I want to be able to pull in that so that I can recompose it with just the pieces that I need. And in this case, I have got platform services and admin services in there for now, and very little else. So it's really just the core of the platform. So that's what the PR supports and allows me to do in this project, is to just bring that in. Because if you try and bring the composite module in, it already is built with all the Spring Boot stuff, which causes other problems. I need to be able to fine tune it. And rather than try and manipulate the jar directly by pulling it and taking out files and all those kind of things, having the plain dependency made that a one liner. And so in this code, the module that gets added is here. So there's two. And I was only playing with these in the last, you know, minutes, basically. So don't expect too much from them. But they're experimenting with simple endpoints. So we currently have the origin, server origin that we can get, the platform origin that we can get, and the server status that we can get. And that's fine, except they return a response body. So they typically will return 200 to say, cool, I've done what you asked me to. And then they return in the payload information about, for example, whether the server's running. And in fact, if you go to the GitHub issue, which I'm going to have to change to, I'll show you the problem with that. Right, so can you see GitHub now? Okay.
Yes.
Cool. So there's a thread on the Ageria discussion forum, which is based on discussion we had last week. But this, Mandy, is, of course, what you'll get when you try and get the server status. So we see here, you know, various bits of information when Cocoa MDS is not available, MDS 9 is not available, but we get a status code 200. Now in Kubernetes, when we try and do a status check, there's a few standard ones that are fit, that are available. I need to find the right page for this. Kubernetes health checks and probes, that's probably a good example. So we typically define something like this. This goes in the YAML file when we're creating our deployments, etc. And there's a few standard types. An HTTP GET is one thing that we can do. We can also exec a command. And it basically relies on a particular endpoint returning, I think it's 200, greater than or equal to 200 and less than 400. And this is built in Kubernetes behavior. Check exec HTTP. See if I can show you that reference. I think it's here. And there's some reasons down here. So TCP just checks a port is available. Let's see if it does show it in here. Well, there's a summary anyway, but this is another example. So rather than HTTP GET, you can run a command. But the objective we want is, I just want to know if Cocoa MDS 1 is running. I don't care about anything else. I just want to know if it's running. And I want to do that with a native Kubernetes facility. So I need that to return 200 if everything's okay, or something else, 404 or 500, whatever, if things are not in a good state. Or of course it could time out simply because the endpoint isn't there. And if I do that, I can use the standard Kubernetes endpoints. If I don't do that, I've got to do things like this. And this is going back to the GitHub PR. I've got to start doing things like grepping out the HTTP code. And this means I would also have to do an exec health check. So this is where Kubernetes will go into the container. It'll run a specified command. And because we then get a JSON response, we've got to be able to parse that response. So that's all kind of very kludgy and very messy. So that's why we want to have an HTTP request that basically just returns a simple status. Does that make sense so far?
It does. I think it's unfortunate that Kubernetes doesn't follow the HTTP spec, but yes, that makes sense if you need it.
It is actually, when you read through the documentation, we aren't unique. There are some other applications that do things this way, and unfortunately, they've also caused problems in writing Kubernetes health checks for exactly the same reason.
I don't have to say, it's a problem with Kubernetes, and it's completely reasonable that you're doing this. I think it should follow our naming standards, but that's just me.
This is only meant to be a prototype, Mandy. It's really
Don't worry. That's right. Yes. No. I completely get what you're doing. It does make sense.
So what we've then got in this prototype code is things like, you know, get server health, where I can go and get the active server status. And we've got to experiment with what do we actually mean by a server being ready? And this isn't getting into the meaning of what this is. This was starting to look at some of the mechanics around both how we handle a prototype project and also how we create services that link into Kubernetes. So that's the purpose for the changes. I had to use this return code because I felt like it. Yeah, that's basically what we do. So we just return okay or a different HTTP response code. And that's what this prototype code's about. So does that kind of explain a bit? I can go back to that and show you when you've done all that, if we do a platform one, see if that's running. So now this is a platform one. This is a cheat, right? Because this doesn't have to call any Jira function. It really just returns the endpoint. That, and I did that first to prove the build was okay and the mechanics were okay. So this one's a cheat. And the one I'm working on is obviously something like, something like that. And, you know, the URLs, this is just experimentation. I put it in a different place intentionally. And there's other things we can talk about with naming. But the idea was this would return okay or not. And that's not working. That's the thing that I'm still debugging now. And that's the work that I've been looking at around server status checks. Any questions?
No questions for me. Just it looks good. I think we can work with this.
Yeah, I was just querying about the original prototype that I did was basically hardly changing a Jira at all and just make it run with one server on the platform. As a pragmatic first step, as a prototype, so that you couldn't, so it would always come up with a hard-coded server. This change as well will be another pragmatic step with the two of them, and that might be sufficient, but it may not be the final architecture or whatever, but it might be sufficient to make pragmatic progress, those two features together. The question whether we want to lose the platform as a concept, or how much work that would be, or whether it's just pragmatic to keep the platform as a concept and not enable its endpoints. I think that's potentially a sort of phase three after these first two phases.
Yeah, I think the big thing to think about is somebody coming to a Jira for the first time, coming into our website. What are they going to do? And if you think this is all going to be private to this little group, then that's okay. But if you're calling something OMAG server platform that isn't a platform, that's when I start getting concerned. And that's really one of the reasons why I was probing at the beginning, that if you are running something that essentially will only run one server, I'm a little concerned that it has the word platform in its name. And it's not technical. It's entirely down to how you make this understandable. And it would be much nicer if, it had a name that matched the type of server it's capable of running.
And it's, another thing we've also spoken about things like configuration and, you know, looking at different types of servers because they behave a little bit differently. And so, very differently. Yeah. So it can help simplify some of these other discussions if we focus on, you know, this is an integration server or this is a metadata repository kind of server. And so we tried to come up with a list of there's a document here somewhere that has a list of work items. I'm trying to remember which one it was in that we started looking at. Oh, right, I think it's this one, scenario proof points. We did this back in March. We tried to list down some of the areas that we wanted to look into to assemble some knowledge and proofs of concepts that would, we think, make for a more consistent solution. But I do agree with the terminology. See, to application was number two here. But we'd also
We have no definition for the word application. It's a Kubernetes one. And that, again, what do we mean when we say application?
I mean, it's a fair comment. The terminology, we do have to be careful throughout.
Yeah. And in this private group, it's no problem. It's just we have to think about that merging into the bigger picture. You know, somebody comes to Jira, do they want to run every server in its own process or do they want to run it together on the platform? And that's the key. Thing. I mean, one of the problems we have is that the server chassis is actually the platform chassis. But we created the name server chassis before we had the concept of a platform, because the very first implementation wasn't multi-tenant.
Yeah.
And that's where that's a bad naming we have. And maybe one thing we should do is, particularly when we build a real server chassis, is to rename the platform server chassis to be platform chassis.
Terminology is really complicated. I've used the word application earlier today, and that was in the concept of what Spring calls an application. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that you build that you're then going to run. And so, you know, we have this OMAG server application. I think it's the thing we call it, don't we? OMAG server application. That is kind of our application, and that's really what the server chassis is. It's the application called OMAG server platform. Server application, I don't know. The thought was that we need a variation of that, but we want it to be declarative. We want to be able to take a configuration. We want to be able to launch that and control that from Kubernetes. So a lot of this is really about the specifics of being in a Kubernetes type environment. It doesn't mean that any of these things you can't use independently. And I'm not saying that, you know, it means we can't care about terminology, but the sort of wrapping context focus when people come to any of this stuff should be in the context of deploying in Kubernetes.
What would the natural word be in the Kubernetes world?
For what?
For this thing we're deploying.
Well, we're running a container. That's what we're doing. We're running a container. So there is a, you can put whatever you want in a container, right? I think that's probably the level at which the Kubernetes terminology ends, do you think? And maybe, you know, maybe application means something quite different, really, because application feels almost like a more of a, it's a looser concept, isn't it? It's a set of things, you might determine it to be something of a set of things that work together to provide some useful business function. Maybe that's what I think of as a user as to what an application is. And in a cloud environment, that probably maps to God knows how many microservices and all kinds of things. What do you think, Jürgen?
I mean, if you use the Kubernetes language, you would talk about a container, definitely, or maybe a pod, which is a bit more than only one container, as we know. Maybe even more, maybe a deployment which deals with probably many pods and can handles things like, as you say, the liveness checks and restarting of crashed pods and things like that.
And they kind of all build up from that. I was trying to work out how I can go in terminology, how you go the finer grained way. And I'm not sure Kubernetes really goes any finer than a container in terms of what you're running.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Not really. I mean, you know, obviously all of these other things we're talking about, when you define the container you're running, you are defining parameters and all kinds of things that get put into it. But it's like that the container image that you create is the thing that you run. That's like your piece of code that you're running. And I don't think you can't get smaller than that. But there's then this other task in terms of what goes into the container. And our container in Nigeria today is basically Red Hat's base image with an operating system on it, with OpenJDK, JVM, some initialization scripts around it, and our assembly that's been put in a certain location on the disk, and it's been configured by default to start up that application. And that is what is in our container.
So I guess, yes, but if we allow in the future like things like horizontal scaling, then you have multiple pods with multiple containers in it, or all running the same thing and all belonging together.
Yes.
So if we're talking about an application and want to translate this to Kubernetes, then maybe the deployment would be a better term.
Yes.
For that.
Yes, I think you're probably right, because the really, when I think about, you know, you've got two aspects of the container. You've got the container as in the definition, that executable code. It's almost like a a type. I don't know the right word. I can't think of the right word to describe it. But then you've got the instances of all those pods running that are part of something else. And yes. That's the other aspect. Yeah, terminology is hard.
Let's call them application container, maybe. And then you have main container and sidecars and this such kind of projects. So
this is
probably a good way to describe it.
But if I go in a big circle, for this, what I was trying to do with this prototyping was also get that repository, because Jürgen, you asked what's the state of repository. I was also trying to get that repository into a state where there is something that builds, you can build things against Jira, i.e. there's an example of doing that. It's repeatable, and people can take that work forward. So that was the reason for going about it in this particular way, is to put an a very specific working example in position. Okay. Any other topics people want to talk about today? I don't think Lucho is on.
No, I think he's busy.
No. Okay. So we do.
I missed that bit a little bit, but I guess there's how we talk about it in the documentation about potentially using containers and how we do these things. Then there's the endpoint, the health endpoint. I wouldn't have thought should contain any of those names. So the rest, because it has platform in at the moment, I think that's where platform comes in. Where potentially
So
it's the rest endpoint is going to be the, whether we lose the platform and stick with the server or however we...
I think the thing is we're trying to do parallel work on different areas. So my intent in this particular example was to try and show something minimal that demonstrates the mechanisms and approach by which one might customize and extend, build a demo, add these health endpoints, explore that, and not be dependent on the application-only environment. And that's why it's got the concept of platforms still in there. But once, we've also got this prototype of just launching a single Jira server launcher, I don't know what we want to call it. Once we've got that encapsulated in the code, right, and it's buildable in that repository, we might actually look at it and go, well, maybe we can combine those two together, or at least make them consistent. So actually, yes, it is now all about a server. It's not about platform. That is totally irrelevant to us. Yeah, and then when we do that, we may find out different things about the build process, right, and how we compose these different things together. So I think there's parallel and iterative work to actually figure out, how we get to where we want to get to.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I think with the health check ones, the one for the platform, the one for the server, makes sense to go into the main Jira build, because people are also going to run the platform as a service in Kubernetes.
And so
that makes sense. Maybe that's a part of the platform services with the origin. And then when you build a new Spring application that represents a single server, then you have health checks that take out the word platform.
And I think that's a perfectly reasonable life cycle as well, is as we prototype some of these ideas, we should think about what it means to the other environments we're working in. And where it's clearly adds value and it's consistent with those other platforms, then yeah, let's push it back down. And I think, as you say, the health checks, that will be fine. I mean, it'd be nice to just prove this stuff works, right? Check that, actually define the health checks, run some containers, check it all looks good. And then maybe we do raise a PR and we say, let's put this into the base. But it was all about trying to do it in the sandpit and trying to put pieces together to prove out a cloud native solution.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. And are you okay, Mandy, with that base PR change to add the plain artifact?
I think I understand. Yeah. So you can disregard my comments, because I think what was missing was an explanation in the PR as to, because initially I thought it was something for cloud native. Right. Then I reread the description and I thought, no, it's for using the server chassis only. And I thought what we were doing was putting two builds of the platform into the jar so that you could then use that label to choose whether you were picking up the server chassis only version or the full build version. But it sounds like now you still just have the full build version in the jar file, and this is just pulling a class from the jar file.
It's creating an additional downloadable artifact that is part of the same artifact, but you can select based on it. So you can say
I suppose. So one of the things we have to think about is whether we can have a downloadable artifact that is the server chassis only thing.
We do in Maven. We have that as an artifact in Maven Central. So if you pull in server chassis Spring, you will get the OMAG server application.
What, the chassis only one version?
No, by default you'll get the full thing. That's
great, but that's not the server chassis only version.
No, so when you put in your dependency, if you depend on Orgo DPI Egeria server chassis Spring, and you just specify it like that, then you'll get the Uber jar, right? The thing that it's got everything that you could download and run directly. If you put Orgo DPI Egeria server chassis Spring colon plane, that plane is what's called a classifier in Maven. And so that directs it to download a different part of that artifact called plane. And the way that's been set up by that build change is that is just the Java source code that is in the server chassis Spring module. So that's basically OMAG server application.
That was what I understood. My point was that there are also people who want to do a third thing, which is to use the server chassis only build option,
Yeah.
And that's not that. And that's what I was saying. It would be nice if we had that, but we don't have it.
But we could. And actually, it's not that dissimilar to discussions David and I were having around the Hadoop, the Hive Metastore connector. Because in the Hive Metastore connector, we've also got different build variants. And we can handle those at the moment, it's just handled at compile time, just like this flag. But you could also ship them with alternate classifiers, or you could actually create completely separate artifacts. And now that we're in Gradle, we've got the flexibility to do either. Maven makes it much more difficult, but we can do whichever we want. Classifiers is probably easier and less overhead. And some projects will use classifiers, for example, to distinguish between JDK 11 built code and JDK 17 built code, or other subtle variations. So I think classifiers is quite nice for that. Yeah, so it's a very standard thing to do.
Okay.
The only thing we could think about as well, Mandy, is that everywhere we're creating composite jars. So let's take the samples. Samples are built with dependencies into an executable jar so that people can just run them. And that's ready for ease of use. And they are what goes into the artifact. Well, should both variations be in there? Maybe. It's less important with the tools because people probably don't consume them so much by Maven dependencies. But for consistency, well, maybe we want to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, that's all I've got for today. I will I'll push up that code change once the base is merged, and any comments welcome. And there's a thread on the Egeria discussions forum as well, and I'll just try and get that server endpoint working.
This will be part of 4.1, I expect.
0.1.
for 4.1.
Oh, I see what you mean. The change to the packaging. Yes.
Yes.
So initially it would obviously go into 4.1 snapshot because that's our main. So it'll be available as a snapshot artifact.
Yeah.
So you'd have to build against that. And then once that goes into 4.1, then you can depend on the 4.1 code.
Yeah. What's the release date for 4.1?
I defer to Mandy on that.
Next week.
Oh.
So I think we're going to try and do it for the end of the month.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the call today then. So same time, same place next week.
I think so.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks everyone then.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.